Can I share something with you for about 15, 20 minutes? Because I want you to be able to steward and operate from this moment. Whenever Holy Spirit, well, I want to say whenever. Team, thank you so much. I love y'all. Yeah, y'all can come down. Thank you so much. I love y'all. I love how y'all steward the presence. Yes, please. I love how y'all steward the presence. That doesn't come from good singing. That comes from that Ezekiel 44 of living in this presence. Because here's the thing, and our apostle teaches this, that you can minister before people, but not minister before him. And it talks about that in Ezekiel 44. An apostle wrote about it in his book, The Second Flood, The Discipline of Worship. So to minister before the Lord, yeah, I need the King James, the leather one. To minister before the Lord, it takes a certain lifestyle, a certain surrender, a certain willingness to when other people are doing, hanging out and doing stuff. You're in this presence, laying before his face, laying on your face before his face. So thank y'all. Mark, thank you. Thank you so much for coming in, stewarding and building on the presence. Glory. Look at somebody say, the supernatural of God is my normal. I told you I was sensing something. And so I want to give you just something for a couple of minutes just to help you steward this. Because whenever God moves supernaturally, it sets a new standard for how he's going to continue to deal with us from that point on. God doesn't do the supernatural through us and for us to say, "Ooh, this was great," and to snap back to where we were before that encounter. You understand what I'm saying? So whenever God does and moves, because he does supernatural all the time. So when I'm saying whenever, it's like whenever we perceive that he's done something supernatural, it sets a new standard. That's why when the scripture says when the enemy comes in, right, and depending on the translation you read, they place a comma in different places. Because some people would think the enemy comes in like a flood. But actually, the enemy comes and God, like a flood, lifts the standard. But notice it says he lifts a standard, meaning that then becomes the new place of operating. It doesn't go back down. It's not like, you know, Batman, where the thing lifts, he come out, then it shut down. It's not like that. It lifts and it stays there. So that means anytime the enemy comes that way, it can't touch you because you are operating in a higher dimension. So, you know the phrase, and of course, Father, I honor you. I thank you for everything you've given me to share. Thank you for the spirit of revelation. Thank you, Lord, that this part will come forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside force. We give you, Jesus, all the glory in advance for signs, wonders, and miracles operating through us. We thank you for divine intervention and enforcement of your covenant for us. We thank you for the victory that we have in Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. Glory to God. I was sensing this victory so much, I almost old schooled it. I got up this morning like, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. And then I told Satan, get thee, victory. I'm telling you, I was taking my dog out and I was like, victory is mine, victory is mine. And then I was like, hi-ya, I even did one of those. I'm telling you, victory is ours. And you have to begin to declare that thing, because you're only saying what God has already said. And so Jeremiah 29:11 says this. Now, I'm talking to you about following the supernatural blueprint. We're still in the thought of wisdom, insight, and revelation. But wisdom, insight, and revelation gives us access to a blueprint that God has already designed for our lives. Now, I want you to hear this with soberness, because there's a degree that we have to be responsible for, and there's the degree that's sovereign. Because sometimes people misunderstand the sovereignty of God. Because we know everything that happens, God knew it was going to happen, and it passes before his throne. But that doesn't mean he approves of everything that happens. Because just like he told Israel, he said, whatever you let remain in the land will remain. And he told, and Jesus echoed it in the New Testament, whatever you bind shall have been bound, or what has already been bound. So we understand that in the sovereignty of God, because we're co-laborers with Christ, there's a part we play in allowing the blueprint and plans of God to come to pass and forbidding demonic agendas. Say amen to that. So in Jeremiah 29:11, it gets real deep. And so today, I'm just going to let you know that there is a blueprint, and then I'll finish the rest of it later. It's Jeremiah 29:11 says this. For I know the thoughts. I'm going to read this from the New American Standard, but then we're going to compare that to the King James. Because there's something about the way it's written in the King James with the thus and the thouth and all of that. But in this particular passage, it brings out something that we need to see differently. So in the New American Standard, it says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Now, when God spoke this through Jeremiah, the people were in captivity. And so he's speaking a word to bring hope, life, and revelation to them, like, this is not my plan. What you're experiencing is not my plan. But I'm not surprised by what's going on, but it's not part of my plan for you. Now, look at that in the King James. Jeremiah 29:11 in the King James. And this is why, too. Let me emphasize this. When apostles say you should have a paper Bible, you should. Because here's the thing. In the King James, there are words italicized, which means that they were added for comprehension by the translators, which is why they italicized it. And so the words that are not italicized are the literal translations of it. But when you read this from the King James from an app, it doesn't italicize those words. So then it can shift your understanding of the scripture, because something you would think this is how it's supposed to be, but you're not looking at the italicized. And that's very important for this passage, and we'll see it in a second. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. See, we think God's plan is just a plan, but God's plan is what he thinks. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Now, because we have the mind of Christ, guess what? We can know the thoughts that he thinks towards us. And he says, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So that word, the word thoughts in the Hebrew means imagination. I know what I imagine about you, is what God is saying. See, God imagines and pictures things about us. It also refers to a purpose an intention. That word thoughts talks about inventions that spring from thoughts. So when you think of an invention, you think of something being created. So God's saying, look, I have thoughts and plans that I think towards you. And when I think them towards you, something is created for you. And something is created for your benefit. Y'all following me? See, when people make plans, we set goals. And in business, they tell us to make smart goals. Sometimes in business, it take more time to make the goal than to execute the goal. Be like, we got to take 3 months to write a smart goal and to revise it when we can just could have wrote it down the first time and been done with it. This goal is not smart enough. Is there a stupid goal? But we make goals, plans, and timelines, but with God, he doesn't do that. See, setting goals is what people do. God doesn't have to set a goal. He has an intention. He has a command. He has a decree. He's made a decision. So he doesn't set a goal. See, and goals are not set in heaven. They're not saying, oh, we hope this is going to happen in the earth. That's not how it works. See, when God says something's going to happen, it happens. Because he said it, that settles it. So the thoughts that God has for us are going to and are already happening. Say it's happening. It is not something that God wants to be a mystery. His thoughts, his plans, his intentions, the things created that when he thinks towards us are happening, and they begin happening the moment he thinks on us. And see, God establishes what we call and identify as Kairos divine moments. He establishes Kairos moments and events that occur at specific times, on specific dates, at specific places in the natural realm. And these things are marked on God's timeline and cannot be altered by the actions of men. They're destined to happen. There are certain things that just have to happen, that are destined to happen, because they're on this timeline. They can't be altered no matter who does what, who says what. It doesn't matter. Just like the scripture says, Jesus at the proper time died. It just had to happen at that time, on that day. Do you believe that there are things that are destined to happen that are marked on God's timeline for your life that have to happen? Regardless whether we sensed his presence or not, regardless if we made the bad decision, regardless if we did something that was out of alignment, some stuff just have to happen. But then there are things that we have to cooperate with, because when within God's plan for the earth, it's his plan for our lives individually and collectively. So when people tell you God has a plan for your life, you know, because that's a common thing, but it's true, but God's plan for you is a piece of his larger plan for all of humanity and all of creation. And so you're not just here to spectate the plan of God. You're here to participate in the plan of God and to execute his plan in the earth. Say amen to that. And so in God's plan is our blueprint. See, the thing about blueprints is this. A blueprint has to be drawn by an architect. The architect, the person with the skill, the person with knowledge of laws and procedures, they draw a blueprint and they create it so it's up to code and up to standard. So God is the architect who has drawn and created this blueprint to make sure they're up to the standards of the kingdom that he created. And to make sure that the spiritual laws of the kingdom are enforced in your life. And then plans are given to a builder. So God is the architect. He's drawn the plans, and then he reveals them to us as the builder, to build according to the design that God has already given us. See, we don't have to try to figure some things out. Even though we are intelligent beings and we can think and we can figure stuff out, some stuff have to be received and not figured out. And the blueprint is revealed to us, and we receive it by revelation. And it gives us insight into how we are to function and do a thing. And so the blueprint was that predetermined and was pre-written before we were even born or sent to the earth. And because I use the term sent to the earth, because born is like, yeah, my parents got together and boom, here I go. Sent is something different. Because we didn't have to be here. We didn't have to have the parents that we had. But they were selected because of our assignment when we were sent. Just like Mary was found favor and to be the one to carry Jesus, your parents found favor with God to be the one to bring you into the earth so you could fulfill your assignment. So you're not the product of the lust of men and women. You're the product of the will of God. And in Jeremiah 1:5, yeah, we in Jeremiah today. Boy, Jeremiah speaking. Jeremiah 1:5, it says this. And I'm going to read this from the King James. It says, "Before I formed thee in the belly." Who formed us in our parents' womb? God. He says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." Notice the tense on that word. It says knew. Before we were formed in our parents' womb, we had relationship with the Father. He already knew us. And it says, "And before you camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee." So that word sanctify, you know, some denominations, they get real happy about the word sanctify. Like, "I'm sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost." You know how they do. And so, but sanctify means to be set apart. Sanctification, it has nothing to do with jeans and beards and all of that and jewelry. That's the interpretation of men. Please, God makes fashion. Do you think people going to be unfashionable in heaven? You think all people going to wear are long robes with the golden sash in heaven? Come on now. Jesus has style. Let's be supernatural. Let's be all the way supernatural without letting religion get into it. Because some folks think Jesus is so supernatural that he's going to walk in sandals and a robe all the time. And they think that's what we're going to do too. Come on. Jesus created those things. And they are expressions of who he is. Right. Now, of course, people in the natural mind pervert the thing, but that's what people in the natural mind do. But that doesn't make the essence of it impure. It makes their interpretation and use of it impure. So he says, "I set you apart So before we were sent in the earth, God knew us. We had relationship in the Father. And before he formed us, before he formed us in the womb, he knew us and had already set us apart for the purposes and plans that he has. And then it says, and this is where the italicized word, because the word "and" is italicized, because you could say this, came as forth out of the womb, I sanctified, I ordained thee. So, and in Jeremiah's case, a prophet to the nations. So the call of God on your life was already declared, placed upon you, and you were set apart for it before you exited your mom's womb. And to be real, before you even entered your mom's womb. So before your parents were born, before your grandparents were born, and your great-great-great-great-great-grandparents were born, God had already set you apart for your purpose and destiny and had a plan and established what you would do in the earth. You getting here is a product of the plan of God that was in motion when Adam was created. You guys seeing that? Let's look at, I got like 2 minutes. Look at Psalm 139. Psalm 139. And I'm going to read at verse 13, but I'm going to focus on verse 16 really quick. It says, for you formed, and I'm reading this from the New American Standard. It says, for you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Notice you're fearfully and wonderfully made. We quote that sometime, but we have to understand that we were made fearfully and wonderfully, meaning God took great care into forming and designing you to be you. And that's why the enemy tries so hard to steal your identity. Because God carefully made you the way, I want to say the way you are, the way you have been designed to be. And the enemy tries to make you be something that you're not. Try to make you operate less than how you've been designed to be. Tries to make you question your gifting, question your calling, question your future, question your present, question your past, question everything. And then he tries to push people in a place like Solomon got to for a minute, be like, everything is vanity. What's the point? Those are oppression tactics from the enemy to keep you from walking in purpose and destiny. And he says this, second part of 14. It says, wonderful are your works. But he's talking about us being fearfully and wonderfully made. So wonderful are his works. Say, I'm wonderfully made. And this says, and my soul knows it very well. See, to walk out the blueprint of God, you need to have revelation of how you've been designed, and it needs to be in your soul. Your mind, will, and emotions has to grasp that revelation of how you have been designed so that you do not take on any entanglements that would try to slow you down from achieving purpose and destiny. And you got to know, part of when I say purpose and destiny, is not just what you do, it's how you are. It is your full expression of the glory of God in you and on you. It is also you enjoying your life. Purpose and destiny is not just your to-do list of the people you got to pray for, the businesses you got to start, the churches you got to launch, the prophecies you got to release. Part of your purpose and destiny is to get out and put your toes in the ocean. So when I talk about purpose and destiny, I'm talking about total shalom. See, if we don't understand our blueprint, we'll spend our lives working for the kingdom of God and not enjoying being in the kingdom of God. So then he says this in verse 16, "Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained," here's this word ordained again, "these days that were decreed, declared, and predecided for me, when as yet there was not one of them." There were things written in a book about your life. See, we hear a lot about the Lamb's Book of Life, the names of those who accepted Jesus. But God doesn't just have one book, he has a library. There is a library in heaven. And in that book, it contains God's books that he writes, but it also contains the books that are written about, that he's written about our lives. And we are living out the actions that are already written in the book when we submit to his purposes and plans. And the stuff we did wrong got erased because of the blood of Jesus. So nobody in heaven is reading the mischief. They're just going to read and be like, wait a minute. What happened? It's like 1 minute we're reading an account when they were 12 and all of a sudden they're 30. What happened? We're reading when they're 30. With those missing years, hey, they got wiped away by the blood of Jesus. Glory to God. So, but every, it said it was written in a book before there was even a single day God wrote it. And so by revelation, we just have to access what's in the book. So when you're dealing with stuff and you're walking in authority over stuff and you're trampling over the enemy because he's under our feet, when he's screaming ouch and trying to have a tantrum, you can just say, Father, what's in the book for today? When there's a decision you have to make, you know, we teach, you say, Holy Spirit, what's required of me and what, in light of what I now know? You can ask that. Also, you can say, Father, what's written in the book? Because that's basically what that question is asking. Father, what's written in the book that I need to execute, or the posture I need to have in light of this information? What is the revelation that you are releasing that would supersede this information? Because it's in your book. Say it's in the book. Look at verse 17. It says, how precious also are your thoughts. We said in Jeremiah, he said, I know the thoughts that I have for you. Now, David is saying, look, how precious are your thoughts to me, O God? How vast is the sum of them? The thoughts, the plans, the intentions of God for our lives are so precious and vast. So what you think that God, the things we think is only a portion of what God is really doing in our lives and for us. That's why the scripture says, no eye has seen, no ears have heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man. Because it's so vast that Holy Spirit has to reveal the vastness to us. And then when we receive that, he has to do it in stages so it doesn't blow us out the water. Which is why when God reveals part of your blueprint today, you got to be open to the rest of the unfolding of it. And you can't camp there because you got to keep moving. Because I'm telling you, when you see heaven, it's going to blow your mind. You're going to be like, wow, 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 wow. But can you imagine on earth like it is in heaven, where you just wake up and be like, wow, 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 wow. That's the kind of God that we are in relationship with. The God of the wow. If you're not saying wow, he's like, look, I need to get you to come up higher because I got some wow for you. Verse 18, David said, if I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. God is good. That's right, he's amazing. He said, if I should count them, they outnumber the sand. And when I awake, I'm still with you. That's implying he knows that he's with God when he's asleep. See, some of y'all need to yield your sleeping patterns to the Lord. And I'm not trying to say this wrongly. I'm just trying to invite you into a new place. Instead of just saying, I'm tired, I'm going to sleep. You need to say, I'm tired, I'm going to sleep. But God, I yield my spirit and soul to you while I sleep. All right. Feel free to speak to me, deposit in me, and do whatever you want to do with my soul and spirit while my body rests. Open yourself up to an encounter with Jesus, not the foolish, not those imitators, but with Jesus. Even when you sleep, because sometimes your mind is so busy, God got to look, let me put you to sleep so I can handle something for you. I don't know how many encounters I've had when I'm in my sleep. I remember one recent encounter, in this encounter, there was a particular bird that flew towards my eyes. Because in a dream encounter, your soul is active. You feel, think, just like you do when you're not in a dream. And so I'm thinking, this too close. So I'm fanning like that, right? I woke up swatting. And then I wrote it down. It's like, okay, Lord, what does this mean? Demons don't have permission to bring me anything in my sleep, so. So I'm like, okay, Jesus, what does this mean? So I'm going to stop here. But you have to know that there's a blueprint. Let me quote this last scripture. Jeremiah 6 and 16 says this. Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. And you will find rest for yourselves. In that scripture, which I'll break down later, there's posture. There's the posture. You had to stand, you had to see, and you had to ask. He said, stand, see, ask for the ancient paths, and then walk in it. You had to posture yourself to see, receive revelation, ask. We have not because we ask not. For the ancient paths, which is the path that's already written in our blueprint, and then we can walk in it. So this week, as I close it out, just to put some type of closure on here, because I didn't want you to be like, man, there's a blueprint, now what do I do with it? Here's what you do with it. In your prayer time with the Lord, posture yourself to see and to ask for him to reveal the ancient path, the good where the good way is. Reveal your blueprint so you can walk in it. This will enhance how you follow the leading of Holy Spirit. because he's revealing your blueprint to you. You receive that? Amen. Glory to God. If you receive it, just lift your hands real quick.